Okay, should we get started? Is everybody in?
The current coming.
We're ready.
And is that facing this? Is it pointing out?
You want me to do it?
Is it recording?
No, I mean, it's on record, I just needed to position it, but yeah. If you all can just make sure I'm always on the camera. Usually Brother Ryan's the one who's but he's teaching this morning, so. And Brother Bob's not here, so. All right, well, we'll just go ahead and get started. I hope everyone's doing well. And has had a good weekend. And I can't believe it's almost Thanksgiving. And this year is almost over. So this last part of the year usually goes faster than the first part of the year.
I don't know. The other part is pretty fast.
This year too. This year for sure.
You mean our age?
Yeah. I mean it. Sorry.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to read from Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we're just going to read a little story here. And I know that you all are probably familiar with this story, but we're going to read it and just kind of glean some things from it. And we're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. All right. Luke 17, verse 11, and it says here, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem," Jesus going to Jerusalem, "that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Now, I want you to notice where he was passing through. He was passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Samaria being where the Samaritans lived. They were half Jew, half Gentile. Okay? They were despised people by the Jews. The Jews did not like them because they had Gentile mixed with them, and they didn't want to have anything to do with Gentiles. So it goes on and says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off." So the lepers were far from him. They were not in close proximity to him. They met him, and they probably heard that Jesus was coming. They probably heard of the things that Jesus was doing, the miracles that were taking place in Jesus' life. And then these lepers, they see him coming from far off. And, you know, back then, leprosy, you know, as horrible as leprosy is, some of us who are from third world countries, I mean, know, you know, you see it there a lot. And we were near a leper colony in the Philippines, there near where Brother Danny Del Mundo's house is. But the leper colony isn't, I don't think it's there anymore, but there's still leprosy still going on.
Samuel went to it.
Brother Sam went to it? Okay. And so, yeah, it's still going on. And there's still a few cases here and there, especially down towards the border of Mexico and U.S. You'll still hear little cases here and there of leprosy. But it's a terrible disease, and it starts eating your skin, it starts eating your limbs off, and you start feeling numb at the end of your limbs, and where you don't even feel that your nerves start dying. So you don't even feel that your nose is falling off. You don't even feel, you just know that it is. And you know, it's very gruesome. And not only that, but since flesh is rotting, and I don't know if you ever smelled the rotting flesh, dead flesh, it stinks. Now, I'm just trying to give you this picture of what these 10 lepers were like. They probably stunk. They probably, and they were hanging out together, and they were not even with their families anymore. You see, when you were considered a leper and you were a bona fide leper according to the law given in Leviticus, you were supposed to be cast out. You were supposed to be separated from your people, from friends. These men probably had businesses. These men probably had jobs, families. They were probably thriving, and then all of a sudden this comes upon them. And so you could see how they were very, Jesus was coming, let me do what I can to get his attention. And so lepers back then, what they would do is they'd really exercise their screaming and their voice, because they had to either to get attention from for help for from people, but to also let people know, hey, we're lepers, stay away. And so they were used to always shouting and using the high pitched voice, you know. So that's the case of these lepers here. So in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, see, you see how they lifted up their voices? Because they were not in close proximity to Jesus. They were screaming and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, now verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them. To me, it seems like Jesus was approaching them. He heard them, so he was going to go to them. You see what I'm saying? Because in order for it, it wasn't like he was yelling to them. Yeah,
he lifted his voice.
Yeah, he didn't say he lifted his voice. It looks like he was approaching to him. Now, how many of us would, if we had lepers screaming out at us, would we go and approach them? You know? I'm getting out of the camera. Mm-hmm. You know how I'm so visual. I need to show. I gotta do things. but you see how Jesus was approaching them. Yeah. He wasn't scared. He wouldn't be like most of us, you know. Oh no, he's a leopard. Yeah. Get away. I believe God healed you.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you know, stay away. No, yeah. Jesus knew where he was standing. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, you see how the word tells them to go obey the word. That law right there is in Leviticus. That when you thought that you were cleansed of leprosy, you were to go show, I believe it's Leviticus 13, if I'm not mistaken. You were to go show and present yourself to the priest, because the priest or the high priest was kind of like a doctor as well. Because he would go and somebody says, okay, I was a leper, looks like I've been cleansed. The priest had to go, he had to be the leper had to be examined thoroughly before the priest could actually say, you're okay, you're bona fide clean, go back to your family, go back into society. And it was the priest that decided that. So Jesus didn't even pray for them. Jesus didn't even say that you've been healed. He just told them, go obey the word.
Right.
Yeah. So go do what the word says. Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went. Now, I like that, because you see, they took Jesus' word. And okay, Jesus, you told us to go and see the priest. In faith, we're going to do it.
Right.
So they kept walking. And they were going to the priest. As they were exercising their faith in what Jesus told them to go do, to go obey the word, they were cleansed.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So it's in you exercising the faith. It didn't have to be that somebody laid hands on you. It didn't have to be that somebody just prayed an incredible prayer and just shook you and all kinds of stuff. That's wonderful and it's great, but when you take God at His word, he appreciates that more than anything else.
Right.
And you believe that word, and you take action on that word, amen, that's powerful. That's living by faith. And that's what living by faith is. It's not something super duper that we sometimes think that it's ripping the shirt off and there's the Superman logo, you know. But it's just, Lord, you said it, I believe it. That settles it.
Yeah.
I'm taking your word. And sister?
Do you think that Jesus lived by the faith that he had because he was God?
Yeah.
I mean, he must have prayed for those people.
Well, I mean, he had to.
Himself, don't you think?
I'm sure the human element of him having had to do that as well, because, I mean, he was human, you see?
Right.
And so I'm sure that he had to. But we have to remember, he had all God in him.
Right.
So, you know, there is an example where a brother from South Carolina, he's passed away now. And do you all remember the story of the Studebaker car? Brother Gerald Cleveland, who was lived in South Carolina, he had a car. Who back? He went to one of Brother Branham's meetings, and the brakes completely went off on the car. Brother George Smith wrote about this story back in like the 90s, in the Only Believe magazine. And in that story, Brother Cleveland tells us, because I heard him tell it, he says that at some point, just to make the long story short, at some point he asked Brother Branham. He said, "Brother Branham, can you go ahead and pray for us? We need to go drive back to South Carolina, and we need to cross through the mountains and all that. And we have a sick sister that we need to carry back. She was sick, and it was Brother Bannister's wife's mom.
Brother and Sister Smith.
Brother and Sister Smith. That's right. She was sick, and
they helped out."
Yeah, and so Brother Cleveland said that it was right after they had gotten out from the Blue Boar restaurant. It was one of the restaurants where they normally would eat at. And Brother Branham, he said that Brother Branham, this is Brother Cleveland's own words, Brother Branham, he didn't even pray for the vehicle. He just said, he just kind of looked at him, and he said, "Brother Cleveland, you just go." Now you take that for example, and The car, when they were driving down through the mountains,
they bought, the mechanic told them to buy brake fluid.
Yeah, the mechanic brought them to,
because it was a Sunday.
It was a Sunday and there was no mechanics opened anywhere. So they said, if you just keep putting brake fluid in the car, it should get you going all the way to South Carolina, but you're going to have to keep refilling. And as they were driving,
they never
had to put that. Brother Bannister's dad, Brother Sister Bannister's mom, dad said, "Brother Cleveland," because he would say, he said he would drive, he would accelerate it, and then he'd hit the brake, and they were almost, and then he'd accelerate again, and then he'd hit the brake, and they almost, he's like, "Brother Cleveland, this thing looks like it's got new brakes." He said, "I believe it." They were able to get down to South Carolina, and Sister Smith was healed too. Now, at that point, Brother Branham had already preached the seals, and it was, I believe it was 1964. That was right around the time when he preached the future home. And I think that's where he was about to. But you know, at some point of that time, you know, Brother Branham, I believe, was adopted. You know, full adoption.
Yeah.
Now you take Jesus Christ, the fullness of God dwelled in him, where he didn't even have to even pray. He didn't even have to. And when God, and probably maybe the Lord even showed him that they were going to be healed. You know, he was God.
Right.
So, just giving that example. But anyway, so they go, and the Bible says that they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Right. Now he's using that same voice that he was trying to warn people. And he was trying to get people to help him, you know. Now he's using that same voice to glorify God. And he fell down on his face, verse 16, he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And you know, if you take a look, you know, he fell down at his face, and he's probably wondering, he's probably thinking, you know what, I'm not only just healed, but now I'm going to be restored back to society. I'm gonna have my job back. I'm gonna be, all these wonderful things are probably going through his mind.
Live with my family.
Yeah, to be with his family and everything like that. I mean, his whole life was about to change. And so he had a lot to be thankful for. Now, even though he was the only one who came back to thank God, the other ones still kept their healing. You see, it wasn't like their healing was gone because they didn't come back to thank God. So if we keep reading here, he says, and he fell at his feet, giving him, Jesus, thanks. And look how the Bible makes it clear, makes it, and he was a Samaritan. Now, you know, the Bible just doesn't put things in there just to put them there. And he was a Samaritan. It's like God letting us know, okay, here's Jesus, he came to his own, the Jews, his own received him not, his own people didn't even want to listen to what Jesus had to say, yet this Samaritan came back to thank God, to thank Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, We're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Now you see, he wasn't even talking to that man. Because I mean, he's referring to him as this stranger. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't talking to him directly. He was talking to the people around him. They must have, because I mean, if I'm talking to Sister Peggy, I'm not referring to her as, you know, as this stranger or as this woman. We're going to have Thanksgiving dinner today. No. No, Sister Peggy, we're having Thanksgiving. You know, it's a more personal. So he was talking to probably the people around him that were listening to him at the moment. Because then he turns and he says, and Jesus answered and said, we're not 10 cleansed, but where are there other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, see, now he turns to him and he says unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I thought he was already healed. That's a totally different. Right. And when you look at this, at that word whole right there,
yeah.
that's the word sozo. And it means to save, keep safe, sound, to rescue from danger and destruction, to save a suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore the health, to preserve one who is in danger. To save in the technical biblical sense, negative, to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment, to save from the evils which obstruct the reception of the
messianic.
In other words, from sin.
Right. Yeah.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, God knew his heart. Jesus knew his heart.
Yeah.
That he was coming back, you know, as in a repentive way. And that thankfulness was a repentive thankfulness.
Right.
It was totally different than just being healed. And this, and if you look in Romans, I have it here in Romans chapter 10, and I believe it's, let's see, I think it's verse 9 right here, where it says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Right.
And see, that's the same word, sozo. So it's a totally different, That man came back, and because of his heart. See, God knows the heart. God knows the reason why you're doing it. Oh, it's okay to say thanks. It's wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. But then now there's a different thankfulness that really comes from the heart. That actually changes you from the inside out. And God knows that.
Yes.
Amen. So,
Amen.
Let me go back here. So, it's interesting that he came back and Jesus told him, he said, go that way, that faith hath made thee whole. It was the exact same thing that he told the lady that had the blood issue for many years.
Right.
He said, thy faith hath made you whole, you know. That you were healed, alright, but now you know thy faith hath made you whole. Now of course there was no Holy Spirit at the time, the Holy Ghost hadn't come, Jesus had not died, but there was a salvation for them at the time, at the most that they could believe at, you know. But, and that's to me, that's more important, amen. If we can, Brother Branham always said, you know, you can be healed and you're going to eventually get sick again.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's why Brother Branham said, you can't major on a minor.
Okay.
You see? You can't major on miracles or healings. You have to major on what is the major, and that's the salvation and the healing of the soul, because that's eternal, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so so I just wanted to point that out, you know, that scripture. And here's a few other scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Add that thanksgiving into that as well. Now I'll end with this. Brother Branham says here, we are your people. We are not under any bondage. We are free. The Son has made us free. And we are free indeed to serve our Lord and our Father. We thank Thee. Talk about a Thanksgiving Day for freedom. We've got a real, every day's a Thanksgiving Day. Every hour is a Thanksgiving Day. I who was blind can now see. I who was a sinner am now saved. Oh God, how free we are, how we can give You thanksgiving. Thanksgiving from our heart, see, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not dead, but He's alive amongst us tonight, proving Himself alive by signs, wonders, and miracles, pouring out the Holy Ghost upon His church in the last days, just before His appearing, and signs and wonders appearing everywhere, marvelous things, and the God of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Give Him praise and glory unto God. Oh, how we thank You for these things. It's a real thanksgiving in our heart. Receive the praise of Your people, Lord. We love You, and we know that You are a reward of those who diligently seek You. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, let's just give Him thanks from our heart, because then that'll change us. And y'all may be dismissed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.